I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with attorney Amy Magnano of the law firm Morgan Lewis's healthcare practice. We're going to be discussing healthcare data privacy and security regulations and related issues and what we might expect to see in the coming weeks and months. So, Amy, what is your assessment of the notice of proposed rulemaking for updating the 20-year-old HIPAA security rule that was released by the Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights in the final month of the Biden administration? What stands out?
The interesting thing to me is this is really just trying to bring covered entities into compliance with a number of requirements that may have been considered best practices, but were not defined under the security rule. As you noted, the security rule has been in effect for a long time and really allowed flexibility, I think, for covered entities and business associates in terms of how to scale their security program. And now this is much more prescriptive than it was historically. So that it's been interesting to see the changes that they're recommending be implemented.
So, Amy, with the new presidential administration now in office, what do you think the likelihood is that HHS OCR will move forward with this proposed rulemaking and why?
It's difficult to gauge because there wasn't a tremendous amount of healthcare regulation during his last term. There's not been a lot of description about what his agenda is relative to cybersecurity efforts or other things, and so that's just really hard to predict. I mean, the notice of proposed rulemaking certainly gives a very detailed outline as to how it could go. I just can't say with any confidence whether any of this will be put into place.
So, Amy, with that said, in light of this uncertainty right now regarding the fate of the proposed update to the HIPAA security rule, what's your advice to covered entities and business associates? What should they be focusing on right now from the perspective of improving their cybersecurity? What are some of the areas that you see weaknesses commonly?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's hard to rebuild or strengthen or supplement a compliance program without knowing, what the actual federal requirements are going to be. And so I think what I've seen a lot of folks doing is a lot of the vulnerabilities seem to be between software patches at the covered entities and business associates. And there's now different vendors who address some of those issues. There's a lot of folks taking a look at, what does our network look like? Where does our information reside, and what do we need to do with it? That kind of concrete data mapping is time-consuming, resource-consuming, and expensive. But oftentimes, being unaware of certain areas of vulnerability is what causes these issues. And so I think, one of my strongest recommendations is to do that type of mapping that they've actually identified as one of the new requirements in the proposed rulemaking of doing a technology asset inventory and seeing, what do we have out there? What does it contain? How can we shore up weaknesses? Is there data that we can, within the state data retention requirements, get rid of, et cetera? Limiting information that can be breached is that'll be a universal recommendation.
What else are you watching in terms of cyber-related regulatory or legislative issues in the healthcare sector this year from a federal level and perhaps from a state level?
It's hard because a number of these proposed rulemakings came out right before the administration change. And so there were some updates to the information blocking regulations. There's been a number of updates to the HIPAA rules in the last 6 months. And so how this all gets enforced and plays out is a bit unknown. I mean, we've certainly seen some of the states step up into some of these areas, like New York has issued its set of laws over cybersecurity. And I think that that is the thing that I expect probably more than anything else, is that I expect to see states with a more sophisticated, cybersecurity infrastructure and or agency presence to start rolling out proposed legislation surrounding what requirements they expect folks to have in the cybersecurity space. I think it would be helpful if, like New York, they coupled that with funding versus just more regulation, because a lot of covered entities in the healthcare sector are still reeling from a number of factors that have impacted their reimbursement structures over the last several years. So again, I think that funding along with the laws would be a really helpful way for the states to bring along that change. But each state is also struggling with its own budgetary issues. So that's what I expect to see, though, in some of the more active states like California, some of the East Coast states, the state that in which I sit, Washington State. I expect to see all those states to start to think really hard about and push out laws surrounding this area.
So you had mentioned that we really didn't see a lot of healthcare cyber sort of regulations come out during the first Trump administration. Anything that you do think that might be tackled in the second term, being that, since the first term we have seen an escalation of major attacks in the healthcare sector. Last year we had the Change Healthcare ransomware attack that affected the whole ecosystem. Any predictions on what might come, or what about HIPAA enforcement for that matter?
It's a really good question. I think the piece that's sort of unknowable is for some of the cybersecurity agencies, we saw, a restriction or termination of some of the members of those agencies in the last term. And so whether that's prioritized this term, whether that work will continue, it's just really hard to say. So I know that's not a very satisfying answer. It's just there just hasn't been a tremendous amount of policy around this or proposed policy around this from that administration.
So now, when you do look back at 2024, what are some of the top lessons that you think the healthcare sector should be learning from the major attacks and large breaches that we saw?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of three primary lessons. The first is that your vulnerability is always going to be your people, right? There's just a human factor element to this that you can always do better training for the folks that work at your workplace and, information around best email practices, accessing electronic medical records on systems that don't have, other internet capabilities, et cetera. I think focusing on that and training folks, constantly training folks and making them aware of some of these risks is going to be a primary importance, is one of the big things that came out of some of these attacks in 2024. The other thing that came out of it, and I should say related to that, with the advent of AI, there's been more and more sophisticated phishing attacks, such that, the emails that we all used to get that read in such a way that you knew that they were problematic, those emails are starting to get better and better. And so I think that covered entities and business associates really need to tell people, hey, this isn't going to be sort of the splintered two sentence things, seeking you to click on a link. It's going to look more sophisticated than that, and you need to be aware of that and just do more training surrounding that area. Again, sort of that data inventory and figuring out where all your information resides and what information you can safely purge within the requirements of the security and privacy rule and state data retention requirements is an important one. And then the third thing, which seems to be common in so many of these attacks, is making sure that all of your software has, updated patches. You've implemented all of those things. You're constantly running updates. You're running security checks, et cetera. I think, those are the three, I think, primary lessons to take away from 2024. And what we expect to see also going forward.
So, Amy, we've seen attacks on a wide range of healthcare sector entities over the last year and, in prior years. Any special considerations for covered entities and business associates when it comes to protecting especially sensitive health data, such as mental health records, pediatric records, and other similarly ultra-sensitive information? Any tips?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always going to be a focus by hackers on covered entities that hold certain sensitive data. And one of the proposed updates in the HIPAA security rule is network segmentation. And so, I know that there are certain entities that have, let's say, Part II information, which is substance use disorder treatment information. And some entities have made the deliberate decision to have that information stored in separate areas than in their broader EMR. And so that's a hard thing to ask of covered entities that have an integrated electronic medical record, but there certainly are things you can do within that record to lock down permissions, to restrict users, to remove it from internet-based portals, et cetera, to give greater protections to more of the sensitive information.
Along that line of thinking, how about with the AI? A lot of healthcare entities are sort of, exploring the way AI can help them. Any tips in terms of protecting that kind of sensitive information from getting used in a way that maybe it shouldn't be used or disclosed with AI tools?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think with each healthcare entity, whether that's on the covered entity side or the business associate side, as they're thinking of engaging vendors to utilize AI and, either data enhancement or whatever the vendor is going to be, whatever service they'll be providing, you need to ask them, is our data going to be in a closed system such that it won't be accessible by third parties? Is our data going to be used to train your machine? And what does that look like? And questions to that effect. Will there be anyone who has access to this data aside from you, vendor? And where is it potentially going? I think that they need to ask all those questions before they jump into the use of AI products.
Well, thank you so much, Amy. I've been speaking to Amy Magnano. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.